Philippians. Next Sunday night, Lord willing, we'll be looking at this, some of the same scriptures that we're considering tonight, and certainly in the same context as Paul is thanking them for a gift that they sent to him. And we'll be talking about that in relation to giving to missions next Sunday evening. But tonight I want us to look at what Paul says in that context in thinking about the secret of satisfaction or contentment. If you'll notice, he says, beginning in verse 10 of chapter 4, he says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." There was a newspaper cartoon once that showed two fields divided by a fence. Both the fields were about the same size. Each had plenty of the same kind of grass. It was green. It was lush. And in each field there was a mule, and each mule had his head through the fence eating grass from the other pasture. All around each mule in his own field was plenty of grass, but the grass in the other field seemed greener or fresher, although it was harder to get to. The cartoonist who drew the picture just put one word at the bottom: discontent. Of course, those mules depict the natural tendency of our heart towards discontentment. I ran across this illustration, and I don't know exactly when it was done, so the figures are relative, but it was said that 100 years ago it was figured that the average American had 70 wants, and that a similar survey taken recently showed that his grandson had nearly 500 wants on his list. I can believe that. Just thinking about, and in some cases we feel like it's a need, because, I mean, you think about the things that, particularly even my generation, when we were younger, we didn't have cell phones. You know, when I went off to college, very few people had computers. I had a friend that had a personal computer. I would go to him and ask him to type up my papers. I didn't have one. Most people didn't have one. Now we've got, you know, smartphones and laptops, and there's so many more things, and it seems like it takes those things to make our life work, and there's so many more things that we feel like we need and certainly that we want. We have a lot of options to us today. Even thinking about, you know, the number of restaurants that there are today. And when we were growing up, there were not that many restaurants, and most of them were locally owned. And now we've got more restaurants than we could ever eat in. If we ate at a different restaurant every day for a year, I don't know that we could exhaust the restaurants just here in Williamsburg, the number that there are. There was a cemetery in England that had two gravestones side by side. The gravestones read as follows: "She died for want of things. He died trying to give them to her." Then there was this about J. Paul Getty, who made his wealth in the oil business. In 1957, Fortune magazine named him the richest living American. Once he was being interviewed by a British journalist, and in the course of the interview he was asked, "If you retired right now, would you say that your portfolio would be worth $1 billion? It was said that Getty paced up and down the room, mentally adding it up, and after a few moments he said, "I suppose so. But remember, $1 billion doesn't go as far as it used to." It's all relative. But you know, God wants us to be content as believers. And we're even commanded to be content. Hebrews 13:5 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." The Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content." The Apostle Paul knew the secret of satisfaction, the secret of contentment. And as he thanks the Philippians for the love offering that they had sent to him, he expresses his contentment with life. He says, "I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." The word that he uses for contentment is a word that means to be self-sufficient, or to need no assistance, or to be satisfied with my circumstances, whatever they are. Now, Paul is not saying that He is self-sufficient in that He doesn't need anybody, including God. As a matter of fact, as we'll see, as we look at this passage, and we're familiar with verse 13, Paul says, this sufficiency, this contentment that I have is something that has come from God. But he uses a word that suggests that I'm not affected by my circumstances. It really doesn't matter to me what they are. I can be satisfied no matter what my situation is. And remember where Paul is as he's writing these words. He's a prisoner in Rome. And, you know, according to the book of Acts, he's in his own hired house, so maybe it's not as bad as if he had been in a dungeon, but he is chained to a Roman soldier 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He is awaiting a trial before Caesar. He doesn't know for sure whether he's going to live or die. He's been unjustly accused. He doesn't deserve to be there, and yet he's there anyway. And yet in those circumstances, he could write to the church at Philippi and say, you know what, I'm content. I'm satisfied with my situation. I've learned that no matter what kind of circumstances I find myself in, I know what it is to be satisfied. Matter of fact, he says to them in verse 11, as he is thanking them for the gift, but he says, not that I speak in respect of want. I don't want you to think, as I've received this gift from you, that I was sitting here wishing things were different. I'm not speaking as regards want or need or a different situation. I'm satisfied. And so what is the secret to satisfaction? And I think one of the things that we learn from this passage is that satisfaction, contentment, is something that we have to grow into. Paul says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I am instructed, verse 12, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Paul had to learn to be satisfied, to learn by experience. The word that he uses for learn is speaks of being a disciple or being taught. And the word know means to know experientially or fully. That it is something that he, through the experiences of his life, he had been discipled to the point where he could be satisfied. And he had reached a point in his life where satisfaction was a settled characteristic of his life. Let me ask you a question tonight, just to get us back on track. Maybe I've lost you there for a moment. But can you say, at this point in your life, that you really do know what it is to be satisfied? That you really have that sense of contentment no matter what? I mean, when things are good or when things are not good, when everything's going well and everything's working and you got the vehicles you need and all the appliances are working and all the bills are paid up and everything is going the way it's supposed to, you know, it's easy to be content then. But what about when things go south and, you know, the car breaks down and the appliances, and they always tear up more than one at a time, and you got those unexpected bills that you're struggling to pay? And, you know, could you really say, like the Apostle Paul, I have learned, I know how to be content no matter what the circumstances that I face? Warren Rigsby said about the Apostle Paul, he didn't have to be pampered to be at peace. But Paul said, I've learned this by experience. And understand this, that God is going to sovereignly guide our lives to bring us into various situations, various circumstances, where we're going to have to exercise contentment. There's going to be times when we will lack some of the things that we need, or we're going to struggle to make ends meet. I suppose all of us have been there at one time or another. Maybe you're there right now. But understand this, that whether it's in the past or whether that's your present situation, that is designed by God. If you're a believer, God has designed that. He's brought you to that place in your life intentionally, because the only way that you can come to that place of having a settled sense of contentment is to experience the various circumstances of life where you have to willingly be content. The Apostle Paul had to learn to be abased, to be hungry, to suffer need. He had to go through those times of life. He wrote to the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians 11 and 27. He said, you know, talking about his experiences and the things that he had suffered in the ministry, he said, there were times when I was in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. And I'm sure, you know, as Paul mentions fastings, I know there were times when Paul deliberately fasted, but there were times when Paul fasted because he didn't have anything to eat. There were times he talks about nakedness. There were times when Paul didn't have sufficient clothing. Maybe he didn't have that coat that he needed to keep the chill off, that he had to deal with some privations. He had to deal with less than he needed. He would write to the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 9, "When I was present with you and wanted, I had needs." He says, "I was chargeable to no man, but that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied." But Paul acknowledges there was a time, he says, "when I was at Corinth and I had some needs. There were things that I didn't have that," in this case, he said, "God supplied to me as the brethren came from Macedonia and brought a gift." But prior to the gift, Paul is doing without some things that he needed. And God had put him in that situation. By the way, think about this. God led the children of Israel out into the wilderness. 600,000 men besides women and children. There's not sufficient food in the wilderness to feed that many people. Matter of fact, even when God promised to supply food, Moses said, "You know, what are we going to do? Even if we kill all the animals we have, slaughter all the animals, we can't feed this many people day in and day out here in the wilderness." But God deliberately led the children of Israel into a place where there wasn't sufficient food and water to take care of them. God supplied, but you know, He didn't supply abundantly. He supplied sufficiently. But He provided enough manna for each day, and He provided enough water for the people. But they had to learn to do with less than maybe their heart desired. But God said He did that to teach them that man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. God brought them there to teach them some things. And God will put us in those kinds of circumstances. It's by design. It's intentional. And God may put us in circumstances where we have to depend upon others to meet our need through their giving to us. Nobody likes to be in that situation. I don't know if you've been there. But nobody likes to be in a situation where they have a need and others step up and they want to help meet that need and they want to give and you end up receiving, but you're not comfortable with that. But understand this, that you know, if that's where you are, that God has brought you even there because He's trying to teach you contentment. By the way, we need to be careful not to despise those who are in those circumstances as God has brought them to that place. It's easy sometimes for us to look down on people when they have a need and somebody has to step up and meet that need. Well, you know, they just, it's their fault. Not always. Sometimes that's exactly where God wanted them to be. God brought them to that place because He needed to teach them contentment. By the way, He also brings people to that place because He has to teach us to help them and to learn how to give to them and to love them and not despise them. And by the way, if you're in that situation, don't despise those whom God would bring into your life to help you. And don't feel like you're less than you ought to be. Just accept the situation. This is where God has you. This is what God is doing in your life. And allow God to work there and be content with that situation. Don't let pride keep you from receiving help from others when you're in that situation, when you're under those circumstances. And God will lead us into those places. Paul experienced that in his life, and that's how he could say, I've learned and I know by experience what it is to have to be content with a situation that's less than desirable, with when there are some needs, when I have to depend upon others to take care of me. But there are also times when we have more than we need. Paul experienced those times as well. He says, I know, I've learned how to abound. I've learned how to be full. I know how to have more than enough. I know how to abound. It was very possible that Paul was from a wealthy family. He, at one point, said that he was a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. And Pharisees, generally speaking, were well off in those days. They would have been wealthy people. And Paul may have come from that kind of family. And even after he put his faith in Christ, certainly he was disowned by his family, many of them. And he probably suffered some financial loss because of that. But there was times when Paul had more than enough. There were times when Paul, as he would work in the ministry, as he would go and he would make tents, he earned sufficient in his working, not only to meet his needs, but those that worked with him. He said to the Ephesian elders, you know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. And I've showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. But he said, you know, there were times when I worked, and you know that. And not only did that work provide for me, but also for those that were with me. Paul said, I had more than I needed. I had sufficient. I could take care of those that were working with me. And God will bring us into those times when we have more than we need. There was one time, towards the end of his life, when Paul was at Jerusalem. Matter of fact, it was the circumstances that led to his imprisonment when he wrote the book of Philippians. But he went to Jerusalem to take an offering to help the needy saints in Jerusalem that he had collected among the Gentile churches in Asia and Macedonia and Achaia. And when he came, you know, there was a question. They said, Paul, we understand that you're teaching that you don't have to keep the law of Moses, and you don't observe the law. And anyway, we want you to prove that you're still Jewish. We want you to prove that you not be an offense to the Jewish people. So there's some men here that have taken a vow, and we want you to join with them. But listen to the way it is said. Do thou therefore this that we say to thee. We have four men which have a vow on them. Take them and purify thyself with them, and be at charges with them, that they may shave their heads, and all may know those things whereof we were informed concerning thee are nothing, but that thou thyself also walkest orderly and keepest the law. But when it says, be at charges with them, what they're saying to Paul is, join these guys in their vow, and you pay their fees for their vows. And I don't know exactly how much it was, but they're asking Paul to take the financial obligation or financial responsibility for the vow that these men have made, and to give that offering to the Lord at the temple. It would have been some expense. And Paul evidently had the ability to do that. He had sufficient funds to be able to do that. He wasn't destitute at that point. Even as he's in prison and he's before Felix, and Felix didn't release him, Felix was hoping that money would be given him of Paul that he might loose him. Evidently, Felix had the idea Paul had some money, and evidently he must have. He didn't pay to be released, but I mean, there was something that suggested to Felix that Paul had the ability to pay a bribe if he would just do it. The point is simply this, that when you think about Paul, even as a missionary, there were times when, yes, he had less than he needed, times when he had to receive support from others and was dependent upon others, but there were times, even in his life, where he had more than he needed. He had an abundance. And, you know, it's interesting that Paul says this, I have learned even in that state to be content. To be content when you have more than you need, how can you not be content in that? But God will bring us into circumstances in our life where we have more than we need, and we'll have to learn to be content even in our abundance. Because you see, just because you can afford something doesn't necessarily mean that you ought to buy it. Contentment, being satisfied with where I am, my circumstances. Okay, my needs are met, but I got more than I need. There's a lot of things I could do with that extra money. I don't need it. I don't need those things. But I got the money, and I can get them. Now, I'm not suggesting to you tonight that it's always wrong, or it would necessarily always be wrong to take care of some of those wants. I'm not saying that at all. But at some point we have to learn contentment. Because life is not about stuff. You know, there was a brother that came to Jesus. His parents had died, and he had another brother who was, I guess, in charge of the inheritance, and he was holding out on his younger brother. And so the younger brother came to Jesus and said, you know, tell my brother, make him divide the inheritance with me. And Jesus said, you know, that's not my responsibility. And secondly, he said, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. How many family feuds have started over that kind of thing, where there's an inheritance that either wasn't divided or it wasn't divided right? Or, you know, hey, she got that table that I wanted. She got that lamp that I wanted. Mama promised that to me. So what? It's just stuff. Now, please understand, I'm more sympathetic than I'm sounding right now. But at the same time, we have to understand, it's just stuff. It's not worth starting a family feud over something that one day either you're going to leave to somebody else or it's going to burn up. You're not going to take it to heaven with you. And Mama's not any closer to you because you got that lamp or that table sitting in your house. And it's not worth creating family conflict for the rest of your days over stuff. I remember reading about in the life of Jonathan Goforth as he and his wife began their ministry in China, and she was one of those. She appreciated the stuff that she had, and we understand that, and ladies especially have that sentimental attachment many times to their stuff. But God had to break her of that because of the ministry that God had in store for them, and it wasn't long after they were there that their house burned down and all that stuff was gone. And she had to realize that it's just stuff and that it's okay. If I remember right, there was another time that there was a flood that took a lot of her stuff. And she had to learn again just to let go of the stuff because it's just stuff. Because you see, you can be covetous even when you can get what you covet. I don't remember who it was that said, you know, one of the millionaires that was asked, you know, how much money would be enough for you? And he said, just a million more than I have. And it will always be a million more than I have. It will always be more than I have. But at some point we have to be able to say, you know what, I have enough. I don't need, I could buy all kinds of stuff, but I don't need it. I have enough. I'm satisfied with what I have. It is enough. And understand that when God gives us an abundance, that abundance is given to us so that we can give to others who are in need. It's one of the reasons that God gives us more than we need. Not so that we can just live lavishly. But again, there is within reason. Understand, you know, the Bible does say, Paul wrote to Timothy, God gives us all things richly to enjoy, and understand that. But yet at the same time, there's also this thing that when God gives us more than we need, that one of the reasons He does that is so that we can help others whom He puts in situations where they have less than they need, so that they can be blessed and we can be blessed. Matter of fact, Paul wrote to the Corinthian church as he's encouraging them to give in that offering from the Gentile churches that he would take to Jerusalem. And he said, you know, God has blessed you and you need to give. And he says, but I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality, as it is written, he that had gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. And the point he's making is simply this. Right now you have an abundance, they have a need. So you give to them. Someday the tables will be turned and they'll have an abundance and you'll have a need and they'll give you. And this is the way that God takes care of His people. And so as God gives us more than we need, we can enjoy it within reason, but we have to have that. There has to be that satisfaction level and the realization that, you know, I have this extra because there's somebody that God will bring across my path who needs that extra that I have, and I can give to them and be a blessing to them. And then I get the blessing of giving, and I'm laying up treasure in heaven as well. And Paul will talk about that, and we'll deal more with that next Sunday night. But you know, satisfaction is not just about money. We seem to focus on that when it comes to contentment and covetousness. But Paul's also talking about not just about financially, but about all the circumstances of life. I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. You know, Paul's in Rome. He's a prisoner. His needs are being met. And in this case, the Philippian church is sending a gift, and that's meeting his need, but his circumstances haven't changed. He's still a prisoner. And yet he's not chomping at the bit. He's not fussing. He's not wishing that he were somewhere else. He is also satisfied with that situation and that circumstance of his life. And God is calling us to contentment, not just with our financial state, but with every circumstance of life, with the state of our health, with our family situation, whatever it is. Things that can be changed, certainly we can change them. But things that we can't change, we just have to learn to be satisfied and recognize that all of this is coming into our life from the hand of God. It all is intended to teach us spiritual lessons, teach us about our God, teach us how to trust our God, teach us how to walk with our God. It all has purpose. And we need to learn to be content. And so understand that God is going to bring you into varied circumstances of life to teach you contentment. It's something that we have to grow into. But it's also something that we are granted. It's a gift that we receive. Paul said that he had been instructed. He said, everywhere and in all things, verse 12, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. The word instructed means to learn the secret. And again, what is the secret to satisfaction? What is the secret to contentment? The secret is to do all things through the strength which Christ supplies. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Satisfaction is not something that comes naturally, because the reason why we struggle with this is because we have that old nature, that old sin nature, that doesn't want to be satisfied. It is a covetousness is part of that nature. Matter of fact, isn't that what happened in the Garden of Eden? When Satan tempted Eve with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. And so she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also to her husband, and he did eat. And what was that but covetousness? There's something God has said I can't have, but I want it. And she reached out and took it. And the result of that, as Adam ate, is that we all have now a sin nature that struggles with covetousness and contentment. It's not something that comes naturally to us. We can't just manufacture this on our own. It's something that God has to do in us. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. As Christ gives me the strength to do it, it is something that God must enable us to do. We can't do it naturally. We can't do it in and of ourselves. But we can do it in the power of God. And the Christian life is about overcoming that old nature. The Christian life is about overcoming the sinful tendencies of our life in the power of God. There ought to be something supernatural about our lives, something that can't be explained apart from Jesus Christ in all of our lives. When people look at us, especially when unbelievers look at us, and even as other believers look at us, and they see us going through different experiences of life, they ought to look at us and say, how do they do that? I know their situation. I know their circumstances. How in the world can they do that? And there's only one explanation, and that is Christ. And that ought to be happening. Is there something supernatural about your life? I mean, are you experiencing the power of God to deal with life, whatever the circumstances are? The Bible says God has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. The answer to every problem, every struggle, every situation of life we face is found in our God. And if we could only believe that. Because we often look for help in so many other areas, so many other ways. And God may use some other things as a means of strengthening us. But ultimately, it comes from Him. And if all we have to lean on is Him, we have more than we need. I was reminded of that book by Jim Berg, God is More Than Enough. And certainly that is true. God is more than enough. And we can learn to be able to deal with life in the power of God, because He is more than enough. Paul prayed for the Colossian church that they would be strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Paul's prayer was that they would be able to face the trials of life with patience, with endurance, without complaining, and with long-suffering, because oftentimes the trials of life come in the form of people that we have to bear with. And even when it's a circumstance that we're dealing with, often people are involved in that. His prayer is that you would be able to be patient and long-suffering and joyful, even in the midst of trials, and that you could do that in the power of God. That God would enable you to do that. You're familiar with the words in Isaiah 40. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There's no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God is able. And so contentment is something that we learn as God brings us into various circumstances of life. But it's also something that God grants to us. It's a gift that He gives us as we trust in His power. And so when we receive the strength of God to contentment, we become gracious people, thankful people. When we're satisfied, we can be thankful. You know, Paul, again, is thanking them for the gift that they have sent. He's satisfied, and now he's receiving a gift from them, and he's grateful for that gift. But, you know, what often happens is people who don't know the secret of satisfaction are always wanting more and never appreciative of what they have. Again, the story is told about a woman who was working as a cook for a wealthy family. And one morning, she was in the kitchen. The man of the house was coming down the hallway towards the kitchen and overheard her say in the kitchen, "I wish I had $250. Well, that was nothing to him. And so as he walked in, he thought, you know, I want to be a blessing to this lady. So he walked into the kitchen and he handed the cook $250. And as he was leaving, going back down the hall, he heard her say, "I wish I'd asked for $500." But isn't that the way it is? We're never satisfied. We're never content. We're not thankful. Instead of saying, you know, "I'm just so thankful for that $250. I just wish I had asked for more." We see this all around us today, where people are not satisfied. They're always wanting more. By the way, I have a note here for us who are parents, and most of us, our kids are already grown, but if you're still raising your kids, be careful about giving your children everything without making them earn it, because they will develop an entitlement mentality. They need to learn to be satisfied and to appreciate what they get. But people who are satisfied are grateful for what they receive. Paul says, you know, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me has flourished again. I'm thankful for the gift that you had sent. You know, he said in verse 18, I'm satisfied, I have all, and I abound, and I'm full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. I'm just so thankful. You know, what was Paul's situation? We don't know how big the gift was, whether it met all of his needs or some of it, but he said, you know what, I'm full. I've got everything I need. Well, he had everything he needed before. He was satisfied before. But he could say to them, you know, even with this gift, I want you to know I appreciate it. I'm satisfied. Thank you for the gift. And by the way, Paul was more concerned for what that gift meant to them than what it meant to him. He said, I'm grateful because this is something that is laying up treasure for you in heaven. Not that I desire a gift, he says in verse 17, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. I'm thankful for this gift that you sent me, but I'm most thankful for the fact that by giving this gift, you're laying up treasure in heaven. His focus, again, is not on himself, but on them. And so when you have learned to be satisfied, you've learned to be content, then you can truly be grateful because you're not looking for, expecting, or demanding more. And so when you get an extra blessing from God, you appreciate it because it is something extra. And so whatever the circumstances of your life are, be sure that God has brought you to that place to teach you. And one of the things He wants to teach you is satisfaction. If you're having trouble tonight accepting the circumstances in which God has placed you, again, understand, God has placed you there. And instead of chafing and fighting against it, just accept it. Thank God for that situation. Ask God to teach you everything that He wants to teach you. Don't waste the experience as a believer. I mean, God's brought you there, and you can chafe and resist and get angry and get bitter and miss the blessing, or you can just accept it and say, okay, God, what is it that you're trying to teach me? Let me get all the good out of this I can. Can't change it, so I may as well get the blessing of it. And then ask God to strengthen you, because again, it's not just you. It is God working in you. Ask God to give you the power to be satisfied. Let's stand together for prayer.